I have preached a little three-part series here, and this will be the third part. I started back the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving, or a Sunday right before that, preaching on the subject of worship. Last Sunday, we preached on the subject of thank you. Today, I want to preach a message on the subject of praise. Worship, thank you, and praise. I trust those have been three thoughts that you've had here recently throughout the season, and especially as we're entering the season of Thanksgiving, and we've passed, but Christmas, and these words will keep coming up. They will come up in song, they will come up in card, they will come up in communication. We preached on the subject of worship, worship the Lord from Psalm 96, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I trust that that was impactful to you as we looked at the responsibility not only in our outward blooming of worship or celebration of worship, but anything that's outwardly celebrated of worship finds its beauty in an inward holiness. And so we talked about the responsibility that you can't just come to church on a Sunday and turn on your worship button. Our lives should be in constant worship. And we come from, sometimes we got this mentality that I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive to church to worship. Let me tell you something. You can worship in your car. You can worship in your home. I don't suggest worshiping with your eyes closed and your hands up in your car. That could get a little dangerous. But you can worship anywhere that the Spirit of God enables you to do that. We talked about the importance of the beauty of holiness. And so the psalmist said God recognizes that innate, that inward attitude of beauty and holiness in far as our worship. Then last week, we went to the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul gave that great declaration to the young man and was encouraging him. And encouraging him in the fact that God was, if God could use the Apostle Paul in ministry, then God could use anybody in ministry. And the Apostle Paul said, listen, Timothy, God enabled me and he counted me faithful and he put me in the ministry. And then he tagged that verse with that statement, who was before. It blew the apostle's mind that what he was now in Christ and how God was using him to serve him and using him for his glory, especially what he was before. And let me tell you something, the recognition of the transformation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in passing from death unto life, from creating, taking the old things that are passed away and creating all things new, from taking me from a sinner to bringing me to a position of saint, taking me from the stain of my sin to the cleansing of the blood of Christ, the taking me what I was before and making me new, that will make anybody say amen, praise God. And so Paul said, man, I'm so thankful, Lord Jesus, for what I was before and what I am now. And so I've been meditating on that verse all week and just let that bless my soul. And I trust that you have too. We also mentioned in that service too that the importance of recognizing a before and an after. The saving grace of Jesus Christ never leaves a man where it finds a man. And so the Apostle Paul was found on the Damascus Road as a wicked sinner, but he wasn't left as a wicked sinner. He was transformed into a marvelous saint of God. And so sometimes people want to say, well, I'm a Christian pastor. Then I ask you, was there a before? What is there an after? Are you talking about the before and after life? No, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus being the center of your life when you came to faith in Christ. Afterwards, you need to be able to look back and say, hey, I was before that, but I have been transformed. I've been made new. Old things are passed away. And so anymore, we live in a society where there's no transformation to the gospel. A man can just declare himself to be Christian. Listen, there's only one person that can declare you to be a Christian, and that's God. You cannot declare yourself to be a Christian. Everybody wants to be a Christian, but there's the justification process. That is a legal standing. That is a declaration from a judge whereby I am declared righteous. A guilty offender cannot declare himself righteous or justified. It takes a judge and it takes a legal standing. And that's what God does for us. And so the Apostle Paul understood that and he said, thank you, Jesus. Today, I want to preach you a message entitled, praise the Lord. And I want to look at this subject of praise. And I have found it in the book of Psalms. And if you read the book of Psalms, you understand that the word is used numerous times. The Psalms are written to lend themselves to the joy and the delight and the worship position of praising God. And I am afraid that praise has become a lost and neglected privilege of the church. I don't think the church has any problems today praying. All of us probably are men and women of prayer. We may not pray continually or every day, but I promise you, if a need arises in your life, normally you don't have any problem going to your knees in prayer. Some of the greatest prayers that have ever been prayed or recorded, you find in the book of Psalms. And David and others were just cried out to God, and God enabled it for those prayers to be penned, and we could read them. We can read the thoughts of their heart. We can read the direction that they were going. We can read the power of God upon their life. I think of Psalm 51, that great prayer that David prayed after his sin with Bathsheba, and then others in Psalm 32 as he gave that prayer of praise and how God had restored him. But there's something unique when you come to the last five chapters of the book of Psalms. Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. When God is wrapping up the book of Psalms, there's no prayers that are mentioned. There's no lamenting that is mentioned in the last five chapters. So there's 150 chapters in this great book, and there's some of the marvelous, most awesome and powerful prayers that have ever been prayed. But when the book is about to end, it doesn't end in the position of prayer. It ends in the position of praise. Look, if you would, Psalm 46, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. 147, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. 148, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. 149, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Look at verse number 6 of Psalm 150. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so when the book is ending, it's ending on the beautiful privilege of praising God. I want to ask you this question. Do you have a regular habit of praising God? Is praising God part of your worship? Is it part of your life? Is it part of your innermost being? I'm going to look at that word in just a moment. Is praise come forth out of your soul, out of your spirit? Is it part of your daily communication to God? When is the last time somewhere privately you held up holy hands somewhere and said, I praise you, God. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, the Spirit of God. I do believe that biblical praise, real praise that honors the Lord, has kind of been forgotten by the people of God. And by the way, let me just say, real biblical praise. Not everything that is declared to be praise does praise Jesus Christ. I watch the way some people praise sometimes, and it's absolutely nothing but flesh. And it comes nothing but from that sinful part of man. It has no holiness, has no beauty, has no sobriety, has no thought for the holiness of God. But there is something that God enables for us to have real biblical praise. The psalmist gave us a direction for it. Look at Psalm 146 and look at verse number 1. He said, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, while I, say it, class, live. While I live, will I praise the Lord. See, praising God is supposed to be part of your life. I want you to think a minute now. I want you to think a minute. When is the last time you praised Him? Pastor, well, I'm always praising Him. You know, that doesn't carry much weight. That would be like me asking your spouse, does your spouse always praise you? If I brought your husband and a wife up here, and I would say, husband, do you always praise your wife? He would say, of course I do. And I said, wife, does he always praise you? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I'm always thankful for you. I told you I was thankful for you when you got married. If I change my mind, I'll tell you then. But no, it doesn't work that way. There's this continual form of praise. I think that the human mind can think it is doing something when it really isn't. Think about that. Let's use the services we've already had. I think God's people sometimes think we're worshiping when we're not worshiping. Because if we're going to worship the Lord, we worship the Lord in the beauty of what, class? Holiness. I think we would all say, yes, we're thankful. Absolutely, we're thankful. Thankful. We are thankful every single day. But I think we think we're thankful, but I'm not sure we're thankful. And I think sometimes we think, well, of course, Pastor, I praise the Lord. Of course he knows that. Of course that's part. I do that. But sometimes we think we do something, but we really don't. And it really evidences itself in relationships. And as I counsel people and I meet with couples, especially married couples, one person will assume that they're constantly doing something. And the other one feels so lonely and so degraded and says, he never does that to me. And I ask him, he says, I do it all the time. He never does it. I do it all the time. So they need a mediator. I'm becoming a very good mediator. We've not had one fist fight in my marital counseling in 7 years. No, it's been close a couple of times. But then I have to mediate what it is. And I'm asking you face to face, do you really praise God? Or do we just think we do? The psalmist said, while I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God. Music and your own vocal singing is part of praising the Lord. It does kind of bother me when I watch. I used to sit up here and watch who sings and who doesn't. But let me tell you something. Singing is absolutely part of praising the Lord. When you stand for congregational music, you ought to be singing. By the way, God knows who's singing and who's not. Pastor, I don't sound very good. I'm not pleasant. I'm not a good singer. Well, the Bible says make a joyful noise. The Bible says to do it anyway. And so David says, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God. Now look at verse number 2 at the end. While I have any being. David says, as long as there's breath in my body, as long as there's a being to my life, I will praise the Lord on this earth. I know we're going to praise the Lord in heaven, but we ought to be prepared and practiced up when we get there. So it's a season of thanksgiving. We're headed to the season where we will rejoice in the birth of our Savior, and we'll sing songs about thankfulness and worship and praise. But I want to ask something. Is God registering praise from you? David said, I'll do it while I live. When does true praise begin? I think there's a founding of when it begins. Look in Psalm 146. Look at verses 3 to 5. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. He's speaking about human there. He's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about the son of human man, where there's no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth in the very day his thoughts perish. Let me tell you, if that's not a tremendous defining of the inability of human strength or wisdom or flesh, the psalmist says, don't put your trust in man. He's going to die. He's going to perish. Look at verse number 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in, say that verse, class, the Lord his God. And so when does true praise begin? The Bible in Psalm 150, verse number 6, says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But really and truthfully, true praise begins once we have deposited our hope in the Lord, once we have been saved. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what kind of problem you're going through. I don't care about your past, your present, or your future. I'll tell you this. If you have Jesus as your Savior, you have reason to praise God. Pastor, I don't have this or that or whatever. True praise begins. And really and truthfully, think about this. Flip over one page in your Bible to Psalm 139. Let me show you one of the great verses. Psalm 139 and verse number 14. He says, I will praise thee, David writing, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my, what's that word, class? Soul knoweth right well. See, when David's soul had understanding and it understood right well, it was able to praise God. Now listen, Our soul has right understanding. If we've been born again, our soul was condemned. Our soul has been rescued. It has been redeemed. Our soul that should have perished forever will now be with the Lord forever. We have eternal life. The spirit in man has been quickened. The soul has been redeemed. And now that our soul knoweth right well, then I've got the ability for praise to come forth. There's understanding. There's recognition. Look at Psalm 146. Look at, if you would, verses 6 to 10. Which made, here's a description of why you can hope in God. Which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Praise his holy name. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. If you thank God for that, say amen. Now look at verse number 10. The Lord, what's those next two words? Shall reign. See, David is able from that position of recognizing in his soul all that God is and all that God is able to do, and with the full understanding that Jesus shall reign forever, David says, from the point that my soul knoweth right well to the point that Jesus shall reign forever, there shall be a continual praise in my life. What is that? What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. Once you've been saved, once you've got the understanding and the ability and the truth and the platform where true praise begins, it ought to never cease in our life. There's no reason for praise to quit. It ought to be continual. Hebrews said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That means it's part of my life. I ask you this question this morning. Is praise part of your continual life with God? When is the last time you got some kind of formal position and said, praise your holy name? Pastor, God knows that I praise him. Oh yeah, he might know it, but he likes to hear it. I'm going to prove it to you. By the way, so do you. We all like to hear praise. And so the praise of our life after we've been saved ought to be continual. Notice that praise, continual praise, is not based on your circumstances. Look at verse number 10. It's based on the authority and the victory and the position and the person of Jesus Christ. David said, the Lord shall reign forever. Now, if anybody had difficult circumstances, it was David. If you regulate your praise to your circumstances, you will never praise God. You're not going to have a heart of praise if you're constantly looking at the valleys, and you're not going to have a heart of praise if you're constantly looking at everybody else. A heart of praise will be revealed as my eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I must keep them on him. I must keep them on the salvation he provides, and on the fact that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and keep them on the word of God and his power. If you take your eyes off of the Lord Jesus, praise will soon vanish from the practice of your life. You must keep them on him. And that's what David is saying. When does true praise begin? When a man comes to faith in Christ. Once it begins, it should never, ever stop. Now, in Psalm 147, verse number 1, David teaches us here, or the psalmist teaches us, why we should praise the Lord. Look, if you would, at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is, say the word, good. It's good. It's good to sing praises unto our God. Who's it good for? Us. Us. It is good for you to praise the Lord. I think sometimes we think that praise is only regulated for God, and it's only good to God. No, he didn't use the word good to describe it toward the Lord. He uses two other words, or he uses another word. He uses the word pleasant. I'll show you that in a moment. But he says, it is good for you. It is good to sing praises unto our God. I don't know about you, but I want to make as a part of my life, especially part of my Christian life, I want to practice things that are good for me. I appreciate God allowing and bringing in goodness into my life. all things work together for, say it, class, good to them that love. And God's saying, and the psalmist is saying, it's good for you to praise the Lord. Now, we think, well, it's good for us when God answers our prayer. It's good for us when our needs are met. It's good for here. But no, my friend, it's also good to sing the praises of God. I got a couple of reasons that praise is good. You ought to write them down. Number one, it's sanctifying. It sets us apart. It blesses us. It keeps us in a humble position. It keeps us in a position of victory. It keeps us from fear and from doubt. It keeps us from a position of taking over in the flesh. Why is it good? Let me tell you something. Praising God is a wonderful remedy for selfishness. Selfishness. Let me tell you. And I hate to say this about myself, but you are looking at the most selfish person in this room. Do not say amen to that. I found lately I can be horribly selfish. The human flesh and our human mind, it can just be horribly selfish. Sometimes in our Christian life, We get so selfish. We may not want to be selfish. We may not think ourselves to be in that position. If I was to ask you, well, do you want to be consumed with self? You would say no. But I find myself so consumed with self in this selfish position. Why don't I have this? Why didn't I get this? Why did this happen to me? Why didn't this happen to me? Well, what's going to happen here? And this and that. And all of a sudden, everything in my thoughts and everything around me, I have one target, and it's how it affects me. And there are some times that thought just brings me to a position of discouragement. You want to be discouraged? Let me tell you something. Discouragement lies at the end of selfishness. You begin with selfishness, and pretty soon, it won't be long, you'll be discouraged. You'll be depressed. You'll be depleted. But praising God keeps me from getting that position of selfishness, because then I'm able to humble myself and yield my praise to Him. Let me tell you, it's a very selfless thing to praise the Lord. No matter what circumstance I'm in, for to have an honest heart to be able to lift my hands and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, for my great God and my great Savior, it will help in our selfishness. Selfish people do not praise the Lord. You don't do it. Number two, what it helps us with is complaining. I'll get it out sooner or later. I'll have a heart attack. One of the two. It's coming. Complaining. Oh, man, we run into people complain and murmur. If you constantly complain and constantly murmur, I'll tell you what you're not doing. You're not praising God. And if you're in a position of complaining and murmuring, the quickest way out of complaining and murmuring is repent and begin to praise the Lord. The very, if you feel the burden of murmur and complaining, the quickest thing you can do is praise the Lord. It's good for us. It helps me with discontent. Discontent. Man, how God's people are so discontent. I preached a message on this a few weeks ago. Still battling this. Still running into this. Discontent. Discontent in my plot in life. Discontent with my job. Discontent with my finances. Discontent with my home. Discontent with my family. Discontent in myself. Discontent. 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 Discontent people do not praise God. You want to get out of that discontent? Begin to praise the Lord. Why did you get in discontent? You took your eyes off of the Lord Jesus, put them on your situation, and then you became discontented. It's good to praise the Lord. It brings me out of selfishness. Brings me out of complaining. It brings me out of discontent. It protects me from my own thoughts. Let me tell you something. Your thoughts can be some of your greatest enemies. You know, man, that verse in the Bible where he said that I bring every thought into captivity. Am I the only person who has to arrest their thoughts every day? Or do you have to do that? If you have to do that, would you say amen? Amen. Every day I got to arrest these thoughts. And man, they bombard me. And I'm constantly grabbing them and saying, that's illegal. Bam. And I arrest that thought. That's against the law of God. You're going to jail. And I put that thought in jail, and I replace that thought with a thought on the goodness of God or the holiness of God. And I have found that as those hard thoughts come in my mind against the Lord, or those doubting thoughts against the Lord, or those thoughts that attack His goodness, I better arrest them. And then how do I get rid of them? I begin to praise the Lord. What do? I begin to sing. Nothing blows my mind more than hearing myself sing. Kind of cleans it out a little bit right there. But man, it is good to praise the Lord. If you know it to be good, would you say amen? I'm asking you to think about it. It builds us up. It equips us. It encourages us. Did it not? Did you not feel in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, as we began to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine? Did you not just feel the touch of God inside you? Did you not feel strength and joy and encouragement as we began to praise the Lord? David said, it is good to praise the Lord. Who's it good for? It's good for you, Pastor. I don't feel like praising the Lord. Let me tell you something. That shows that you do not have biblical thinking. Non-biblical thinking uses the word feel. I don't read in Psalm 146 where it says praise the Lord because you feel like it. I don't read that in Psalm 147. We don't praise the Lord because of what we feel. We praise the Lord because of who He is. Amen to that? And boy, we get so bent out with how we feel. He says it's good. Well, another reason he touches on here in Psalm 147, verse number 1. For it is pleasant. Now, it's good for us, but it's pleasant for God. I'm going to give you some homework. Write some verses down. Write 2 Chronicles 6 and 2 Chronicles 7, 3. 2 Chronicles 6, 2 Chronicles 7, 3. This deals with Solomon. Write down 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 27 and surrounding verses. And if you're writing down, write down Jehoshaphat and Amnon. Write down, if you would, Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas. And God, please help me preach this point. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. Does God command us to pray? We are to pray how? Pray without what? Ceasing. Does God hear our prayer? Come on now. Do you believe God hears your prayer? Do you believe that God answers prayer? Okay. The three chapters I gave you, God does a marvelous work in all three of these chapters. He does a marvelous work in the life of Solomon, filling the temple with His glory. He does a phenomenal work in the life of Jehoshaphat as he saves him from Amnon. And in Paul and Silas's case, if you remember, they're in jail at midnight, and the earthquake comes and it frees them, and the Philippian jailer gets saved and all of that. All three of those cases, prayer is made. All three of them. But as you read the text on all three of those, it's not until praise begins that God begins to do His work. In the area of Solomon, in that temple, it didn't come down until they began to sing the songs. Jehoshaphat, they were marching and they began to sing the song. The Bible says that Paul and Silas at midnight sang praises unto God. Yes, God wants us to pray, but my friend, He also wants us to praise as well. Some of you are constantly praying, but you haven't learned the power of praise. Prayer deals with petition and supplication, and it can be a prayer of honor and glory. But if you're not careful, you can pray your way into discouragement. And you can pray your way into this position. Well, doesn't God hear me? Doesn't God care about me? Why isn't God answering this prayer? How come I'm going through this? I prayed for this. I got this. I don't understand here. And pretty soon, all you're doing is praying and praying. And now, your prayer changes from trying to get a hold of God. And get God. Now, you're praying from a bitter spirit. Now, we're praying almost in a contentious way. Now, we're praying in a demand. Now, I understand we can demand on the Word of God, but it almost comes from a demand of our want. And some of God's people, we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and our joyful prayer turns into anger, complaint, and we get ourselves so much where finally we say, I don't want to pray. These three chapters here, prayer was going on, but it wasn't until praise began when the earth began to shake and victory began to come. You see, God wants for us to pray, yes. But it's pleasant for God to hear our prayer. Let me finish a verse. I will enter his gates with praise and his courts with what? Thanksgiving. See, when God, when the Psalm 100 said go in there, he wanted us to begin with praise. Look, if you would, at Psalm 147, verse number 11. This is powerful here. Verse number 11 in Psalm 147. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that say that word, hope in his mercy. You know, you can pray without hope. You know, the human mind can literally bow its head and pray and ask God and at the same time say he's never going to answer this prayer. Have you ever had that experience? It's an awful experience. The same time I'm praying, the same time I'm thinking, he ain't going to answer this prayer. And the devil's just bombarding me or self's bombarding me. But God said, or Psalmist said in 147, verse number 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Let me tell you something. We do pray in hope for the mercy of God. But praise also reflects the fact that I stand in hope of his mercy. And sometimes God just wants to hear you praise him for who he is, praise him for his will, praise him for however. And it's at the point of that praise that God begins to move in our lives. And David said, it's good for you and it's pleasant to God. He loves to hear praise. And so in the same time I'm praying, I'm able to praise him. It shows that I'm hoping in him. It shows that I'm not selfish. It shows that I'm not in the flesh. It shows that my eyes are on him. I have a desire of my heart. You said you would meet that desire. You gave me that desire. It matches your desire. And it shows that I am honest. That's what praise does. It shows that I'm honest. But we think we're honest because we pray. But God says, well, it's pleasant for me when I hear your praise. I'm going to ask you a question, but this is good. This is great, great, great. Are you honest in your approach before God? Of course I am, Pastor. Then there will be praying and there will be praise. Are you praising the Lord? Well, I didn't know it was that important. Yeah, that's why you come to church. Amen. Okay, number three. It's good, it's pleasant, but it's also comely. This word comely is a fascinating word. The word comely carries with it two ideas. You ought to write these down in your Bible beside there. That word comely means suitable, and beautiful. Suitable and beautiful. David says, it's good for you to praise. It's pleasant to God. And it's suitable, fitting, or purposeful. And it's beautiful. And he goes on to describe how suitable it is in verses 2 to 6, because he delivers the oppressed. Verses 8 to 11, because God provides, the Lord is faithful, and he provides for the faithful. Verses 13 to 20 is because he protects Israel. And David, or the psalmist, is able to look here, and the psalmist says, it is suitable and it is beautiful for God's people to praise the Lord for not only who he is, but for what he has done in our life. If you think praise is suitable for the Lord, say amen. You ought to be able to look at your life and say it's suitable. No matter the circumstance, praise is still fitting. Now, I want to touch on this. Miserable people. When you know the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God lives in your heart, praise begins to become supernaturally natural to you. Do you remember when you first got saved, you were praising the Lord for everything? Sometimes over a course of time, that delineates and it weakens and it lessens. But in the heart of God's people is a spiritual drive to praise the Lord. And we know it. We sense it. Something happens. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Praise God. It's just this drive to praise him for who he is. You want to know somebody that's miserable? Miserable people are the ones who suppress that. And I found that God's people, if we're not careful, we know it is suitable, and we know it is beautiful, and we understand that we ought to be participating in that, but for some reason we suppress our praise to God. Now, there's some reasons that we suppress our praise to God. I think it begins with selfishness, misunderstanding, thinking we didn't get what we deserve, thinking he didn't care for us, thinking he wasn't faithful to me. But see, if the Spirit of God lives in you, by the way, if he lives in you, say amen. He wants to praise. And he works in my heart to do that. But I have the capacity to either yield to that, or I have the capacity to squish that. And I have found that we know we ought to praise him, but we have the ability to suppress that. I know it's suitable, and I know it's beautiful, but, and some answer comes up over here. Let me tell you, whatever that answer is, it's not of God, it is of the enemy. It comes from your own mind. And whatever it is that is keeping you from praising the Lord is leading you down one of the most miserable paths of life you will ever go. For there is no joy greater than lifting up our hands and saying, praise God for who you are and what you've done in our life. And God's people said, do you praise him or do you just think you do? Are you honest in that? Worship, thankfulness, and praise. Oh, I want him to receive my praise. I want him to know it. Shall we pray?